If you will, please turn to Philippians chapter 2. There is five verses in Philippians chapter 2 that maybe caught your eye as you was reading through the first part of your spiritual authority book. I have heard these five scriptures, five verses preached maybe in my life, maybe 15 times. I have never heard anyone get as much out of it as Watchman Nee has. And I'd like to share it with you this morning. I said when we started this thing on spiritual authority, it was something that every believer needs to understand. Because you see, salvation and believing in Jesus Christ and His death and burial and resurrection is only the start of our relationship with God. This thing of understanding spiritual authority is most necessary to be successful in your relationship with Christ. So we'll start out chapter 2 of Philippians and verse 5. The first verse says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now what that is saying is we are praying and asking God to give us the same mind and attitude that Jesus had. The same qualities that He lived with every day to give to us to enhance our lives as we live down here in all that we have to deal with. Verse 6 says, "Who," talking about Jesus here, "who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now let me say this. There are two places that I know in the Bible, in the New Testament, that explains this process right here. One's in Hebrews, the other one's right here. This thing is so deep. Being in the form of God, that meant is when He was God, before He came to earth as a baby and a human with flesh like you and I, He was a God in heaven. He was part of the Godhead of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it says that when He was part of that Godhead, before the plan was for Him to come to earth, to die for us, and to introduce the church to us, something that we didn't know about before, being in the form of a God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, Jesus, what that says, was equal with God the Father when, before He became a human and lived on this earth. Now, I have been taught all my life that God the Father had more authority and then Jesus had next, and then maybe the Holy Spirit was next. That's not true. At a time when they were all one being, they were equal in authority. One did not tell the other one what to do. It was not something that Jesus thought it needed to be worked for or achieved or whatever. Jesus was on the same level as God the Father. He was inherited with that. He didn't have to work for it. And it was, as folks say now, it was what it is. He came into being as part of the Godhead. but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus humbled himself twice in this story. Once, when he and God and the Holy Spirit got together and decided this plan of salvation, that Jesus would come to this earth and live as a human being, he emptied himself is a word that's not in Scripture, but it's used a great deal. It says, who being in the form of, who made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of all the privileges, the power, and the authority he had as a part of the Godhead when he found out that he was going to have to come to this earth, be born as a human child, and grow up as a human, become a minister, the Savior of the world, introduce the church to us, and then die on the cross for our salvation. He got rid of all his power and authority before he was born as a child on this earth. There are those who said that he never quit being a God, but I personally believe he did. I don't believe he did miracles in the sandbox. People have conjectured about that as a child, how he wowed the other children. I don't believe that. I believe this right here says that he quit being a God to be a human. And it says in Hebrews that he was like us in every way. You can't be like us in every way and still be a God. That's what I believe. So he humbled himself, knowing that that was what he was going to have to do. He gave up all his privileges of being a heavenly being and a part of the Godhead. Look at verse 8. One of these five scriptures, from 5 to 7 is one humbling, and from 8 to 11 is another humbling. There are two times here that he humbled himself. One, he did it before he was born on this earth as a baby. Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man. All right, now look, this is a different stage. It said he was found as a God, and he lived like a God. And when he became a man, found out that he was a man, that he was a human, is a different deal. And being found in fashion or appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to God unto death. That's the extent that he carried his obedience to God. Now look, the two of them made this plan, at least two of them. The Holy Spirit might have been on it, but it doesn't say so. But he and God made this plan to where Jesus would become obedient to God and God would be the authority. During the course of this plan, when Jesus was on this earth, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Jesus knew this plan before he ever agreed to it. God the Father agreed to be the authority, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, initiated the obedience that he showed as a human. God took the place of authority gladly. And Jesus took the place of obedience to that authority. In John 14 and 18, or 14 and 28, Jesus says, "The Father is greater than I." And he was during that time that Jesus was here on the earth. Because they decided it was going to be that way. It hadn't always been that way. But they took the role each one of them played in this relationship of salvation. There was perfect harmony in the Godhead before Jesus came to this earth. And after each one of these two parts of God took their roles in this plan that they made, there was perfect harmony again. There has been harmony in the Godhead always. That harmony has not been shared with their creation, which is us. Wherefore, verse 9, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now catch on to this now. Jesus did what he did to be obedient to God the Father, to bring glory to the Father who had the plan to start with. If you can remember in your recollection of sermons and lessons and scriptures and whatnot, there were times when Jesus was on this earth that the disciples asked him, "What about so-and-so?" And he said, "I don't know that part of the plan. You have to ask God for that." Jesus didn't always know the complete plan. But God the Father did. It was apparently then his plan. After creating everything that was created. You remember we said that 3 or 4 weeks ago. Jesus created everything. And it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." The God that it's talking about there is not God the Father, but God the Son. It was Jesus that did that. And think for a moment now about how hard it must have been for Jesus to live a life that we are supposed to emulate. And his life said to the world that the most important commandment was to love God the Father with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor, each other, even as yourself, in order to be the example that God wanted Jesus to be for the purposes of the plan, and that you and I would have a perfect example. Jesus had to become obedient to the very creation that he created. So please understand something. For that reason, it's a lot easier for you and I to, as the Bible commands, to submit to one another, to treat each other like they are better than we are, for me to treat you like you're better than me, and that's what I believe that God meant by that, that Jesus tells us to do that with his commandment, that we're to live with each other like each other is more important than we are. And Jesus had to be that example. And he had to love his creation enough to do what, to humble himself to them, to be obedient enough to do it, to fulfill his role. He forsook his authority, his privileges as a God, all that he had, and took up obedience, the role of obedience. He took human limitations. He could no longer disappear here and appear over there. He could no longer walk through walls. He had the same limitations of time and space. If you've ever taken physics, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He took up the same limitations of time and space that we as humans have to live under. Jesus, before, was a God. He didn't have to act like that. Didn't have those limitations. Now, there's something else that I believe. I believe that when Jesus took on a body like mine and yours, that he still has that body. A spirit can be everywhere. You know, I got to thinking about it, and I got to think, if you take a box, a good box, box had four lids on top, you know how you close them up and tape them up to ship something. If you could turn it upside down and catch the smoke coming off of a smoky fire, and shut that box up, upside down, and then take it into another room where there wasn't any smoke, and open it back up, that smoke that had been contained in that box could float all over the room. You could have some smoke over here. You could have some smoke over there. You could have some smoke going out the door, some going out the window. That's the way a spirit is. That's the word that the Bible used for a spirit. It's air. It's wind. It's moving wind. It's moving air. And the only thing you can see like that is smoke. And it can be everywhere. A spirit can be everywhere all the time. That's the reason I think that Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit is come, you'll be able to do things that I can't do. He could only be in one place at one time with a body like mine and yours. But the Spirit can be everywhere in the world at the same time. Even humbling himself to be obedient to the Father to the point of death. He completely, and this is a thought I had, he completely allowed his creation, the people of the earth, in the form of Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and scholars and Romans and the unbelievers, to absolutely torture and kill him in order to be obedient. So that leaves me with one option. If I'm going to be like Jesus and filled with Christ, then I've also got to be filled with obedience. That's how important it is. You know, I thought about all kind of things. We go to church, we get saved, and then we go to church again, and then we go to church every week, and we think about all these things that involve church, and we get out and live, a lot of our lives is lived in a state of disobedience to God. We do things every day that we know God doesn't approve of. Jesus couldn't do that. And if we're to live like Jesus, that's the requirement that God has made on us as far as His authority is concerned. If our lives as Christians depend on obedience, it makes our life a completely different thing. Total obedience makes it different. Jesus initiated human obedience, and the Father, God the Father, became the head. He's the one that took the authority, what we call spiritual authority. Authority as it involves the spiritual world, which Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father were all part of. God the Father is the one that instituted this plan to have both authority and obedience. Jesus, being a God before He came to earth, was an inherited position. He was formed that way, with authority equal to God the Father. Jesus became a Lord for what He did down here. Jesus was exalted by God in Matthew 28:28 because of what He did down here after He forsook His glory, was obedient in every single way, perfect to His Father. And God made Him a Lord. There's something interesting. With all that God was before, with all that Jesus was before, with all the Holy Spirit was before, when they lived in the Godhead, before this plan of salvation was put into effect and the earth was created, Jesus wasn't a Lord up there. He became a Lord as a result of His obedience to the Father in this plan that they had. Now listen, God decided to have a universe and have it created and have us created on it. But God's authority wouldn't work alone. Authority never works unless there is someone to obey. It takes two. You got to have one with the authority and one to obey, or the one with authority doesn't have any more authority than anybody else if he doesn't have anything to obey it. God's authority couldn't work alone. It had to have somebody with total obedience to give importance to the fact that God the Father had the authority. Two living beings were to be created in that plan. You remember that? They created God, or Jesus created, and God together created angels first. And then they created men. God in His foreknowledge knew that the angels, some of them were going to fail. They're going to rebel. Rebelling is the very word that's the antithesis of authority. God knew in His foreknowledge that the angels would rebel against Him, that His authority wouldn't be any good with them, some of them. And He knew in His foreknowledge that man would fail also. And His knowledge, His authority would not work with man. Rebellion came from the creation. God was unable to establish his authority in the very things that he created. So in order for his authority to be established, it had to be with creation. It had to be with men. That's the reason that God, before he created the earth, created this whole plan of salvation, where we believed on Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and were born again, saved. The fallen angels couldn't do it. Fallen man couldn't do it. If you remember, at one point with his experiment with us, with humans, God killed everybody in the whole earth except for 8 people. Now that's to what extent that this whole thing about God's authority is all about. That the whole world full of people would die except for 8. To establish God's authority, it had to be established by men, by the creation. That's the reason why Jesus had to come from heaven, give up his godliness, be born on this earth as a human being, grow up as a human being, become totally a man. And there's always been argument about that. But he had to be totally a man in order for God's authority to be established in the world by a created being. Jesus was that created being. That's the reason that he was created as man. Now I want to read you something. 2 paragraphs out of this book. It's on page 48. The birth of our Lord is actually God coming forth. Instead of remaining as God with authority, he came to man's side, accepting all the limitations of man and taking the form of a slave. He braved the possible peril of not being able to return with glory. Should he have become disobedient on earth as a man, he would have still been able to reclaim his place in the Godhead by asserting his original authority. But if so, he would have forever broken down the principle of obedience. There were 2 ways for the Lord to return. One way was to obey absolutely and unreservedly as a man, establishing the authority of God in all things, on all occasions, without the slightest hint of rebellion. Thus, step by step, through obedience to God, he would be made Lord over all. The other way would be to force his way back by reclaiming and using the authority and power and glory of his deity that he had before. Because of having found obedience impossible through the weakness and limitations of the human race. If Jesus had failed 0.001% in being obedient to God's authority, it wouldn't have worked. He had to be 1,000% as a man. Because as a God, it wouldn't have worked. He had to become a man, and totally a man, in order to become part of this plan that they had that would establish God's authority. That means that the only way that God could establish His authority and fulfill His plan was to do it through believers. That's you and me. That's the elect part of it. God had seen in His foreknowledge that the people on the earth were not capable of saving themselves. They couldn't be good enough to do that. And so He picked some, He chose some, He anointed some, He ordained some. All those words are used for you and me. You were chosen to become a saved person and to prove that God's plan could work if it was possible. Now, we're all born again, as far as I know. And like I said, that's just the start of it. The important thing is, in order to further establish the obedience of God, which establishes God the Father's authority, we've got to be obedient. Angels couldn't do it. Humans couldn't do it. It was only the elect, the chosen, that could do it. And it's left up to us to get it done. We have a choice. Just how obedient are we going to be? We can still go to heaven. We can still be with Jesus in heaven. We can be with the Father up there too. By choosing not to live in a state of obedience every day. But that wasn't God's plan. And that's the extent that He went with Jesus, the two of them, to try to create a situation where Jesus could become that perfect example that we all could read and study and pray for to be like. Earthlies, you and I, we have that option. That is the reason that spiritual authority is so important. God called us righteous. When we were saved, He made us righteous. In His eyes, we are righteous. But we know we're not. We know we're still sinners. And we choose to sin or not to sin every day. We were called righteous because we believed. But the only way we can be exalted by God is what He says over and over. Humble thyself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in His time. That's what He did with Jesus. And as we read, He gave Him a name above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That covers everybody. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One other thing left in this story. What does Lord mean? I've been told it means master. What was it that Paul said when he was struck down on the road? Lord, what must I do? That's what he said. Lord, he knew exactly who he was talking to. He was talking to Jesus Christ. Jesus just told him who he was. And he called him a Lord. The definition of Lord is supreme in authority. You can't get any higher than calling somebody Lord. Because Jesus was perfectly obedient, God gave Him all authority and gave Him His, God the Father gave Him His authority and all authority in heaven and in earth and under the earth, because he was so perfectly obedient. That was the monkey, if you will, that was put on Jesus' back about this whole plan of salvation. And like everything else about the plan of salvation, we have to be like Jesus if we're going to totally achieve the position that he was in. That is the role, if you will, in the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That was the whole plan. It had to be like it was. Couldn't be any other way. And Jesus, though, was the one that made it happen. He was the one that sacrificed. And that's the importance of spiritual authority with us as Christians. So few Christians understand that. I did not understand that until I got this book 40 years ago and I read how this man explained that whole thing. And when you go back and check out every single thing that he said, it's true. It happened just like he said it did. I hope that I have explained it well enough for people to understand it. I hope I have. I prayed this morning that I might have the clarity and that God would completely control my mind and give me the words that I would need for you to understand, so you could have this opportunity to be exalted just like Jesus was. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this information. I thank you for explaining it. And I thank you most of all for Jesus, that he was willing to do what he did. I've heard all my life about all that he went through for us. And I had no idea that it was to that extent. But I do now, and I thank you for that. I thank you for your plan. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for what he went through. I thank you, Lord, that he still sits up there right now working with the Holy Spirit that's in me to keep us all like God wants us. And the Holy Spirit can monitor every thought we have and every action that we have, that we might live a life that Jesus can say one day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things." In Christ's name we pray. Amen.